One of the best things about trying to get a return, of course, is trying to navigate risk. And Christo, who's joining us as an investment specialist from Coronation, feels as though we don't take on sufficient risk in order to get our return. Christo, welcome to Breakfast with Refilo. How are you doing?
Hey, good morning, Rufiwe. Good to chat to you. I'm doing very well, thanks. And thanks for that lesson in expectation management. I think that's very important.
Quite right. Okay. So we often talk about, when we speak on Mood Monday, about sitting on cash for too long, not actually engaging the potential return profile we should be. I think for many of us, the concern is that we're afraid that, you know, what is too much risk and what is enough risk?
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, it sounds very counterintuitive, but I think the saying that there's real risk in not taking enough risk is quite apt in this moment. And I'll tell you why. We recently did an annual survey with our clients. Effectively, we get an incredibly rich insight into the minds of our investors. So this year, we got 3,000 responses, and we've been doing a survey for the last 5 years. And the headlines around expectations from returns are as follows. So if you're a low-risk investor, you're a short-term type investor, you've told us that you expect over your investment horizon, which is the short term, you expect somewhere around 9%. After inflation, that's somewhere around 3 to 4% today. And then it ramps up all the way to your aggressive long-term growth investor who has multi-decades to invest for and who typically allocates to a bundle of South African and global equities and perhaps some property. And that investor expects 11% on average. So we've got a gap of 9% on the bottom end to 11% at the top end, which in my view is incredibly compressed, especially if you look at the very long-term return outcomes that we've seen from various asset classes. And so the question is, well, should the investor that is expecting 9% from cash and cash plus type outcomes, should they adjust their expectations down? And I think the answer is yes, slightly. You know, we all know what cash is doing today. Like you said, you know, we've discussed that ad nauseum. But the very interesting question is that long-term investor who's telling us they on average expect 11%, is that perhaps too conservative? And I think the answer is yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah, and the reason why is, you know, if you look at the last five, even perhaps six, 7 years of returns from especially South African asset classes, many long-term growth investors have been disappointed. So they've basically only received their 10, 11% return over the last decade. But if you look at the very long-term outcomes from SA, and I'm talking about 100-year plus outcomes, you know, South African equities have delivered more than 7% per annum after inflation. So simply if you do the maths and you believe in some kind of mean reversion, you have a strong case for why in the next 5 to 10 years, you can expect, you know, something closer to that long-term average from South African equity. So if it's 7% real and you expect inflation to be somewhere around 5 or 6%, well, that gets you to a number above 11%. And I think, you know, that gives investors a great opportunity to start to think about how much risk they should be taking in their portfolio. And if we look at industry allocations, if we look at how investors have allocated their money over the last few years, we suspect that many investors are too conservative. So perhaps this is a great opportunity to not necessarily take on undue risk, but to make sure that you're taking enough risk. And I would call that just normalizing.
Correct.
Make sure your portfolio is where it should have been in the first place.
Christo, let me say this. I mean, you made a very good point about the fact that for many long-term investors, the return hopes were not necessarily fulfilled. And then separately, if I'm a lay person listening to you right now, I'm going, wow, that's a 200 basis point difference between not taking risk and taking risk. Why would I take the risk only to potentially not get my return?
Yes, perfect. So that's exactly the point. Is it worth taking the risk if I'm only expecting 2% more? But the problem is, we think that return gap, that expectation of 200 basis points or 2%, that's not big enough. So if you look again at the long-term numbers, if I said that equities did, you know, closer to 7% after inflation, the reality is over the very long term, cash and bonds, you know, the other side of the risk spectrum, they only gave you 1.5% after inflation over the long term.
Yeah.
So that gap of somewhere around 5.5% between taking less risk versus more risk, that's a more sustainable gap. But our clients are currently telling us they only expect a 2% gap. So that's part of the problem.
Got you. Now, the next thing is execution. So we can sit and chat here on the radio, but like, Christu, I'm not going to go to the JSE and hand over $100. How do I do this?
Yeah, so we all know the line by now. Firstly, if you have a financial advisor, please chat to them. Make sure that they have you in portfolios that are, let's say, purpose-built for your needs, and everyone's needs are different. If not, I work for Coronation, so please do visit coronation.com. We've got a great journey we can put you through to try and help you find the right fund for you. In most cases, Rebuwe, some kind of multi-asset portfolio that, you know, is there to serve your need, whether you're a short-term investor or a longer-term investor, that will put you in good stead.
Thank you so much, Christu. Much appreciated. And it's so great to have you on Mula Monday. Investment specialist at Coronation, Christu Linnefeld, giving us the very good common sense, but not so common, it would turn out. Christu, have a wonderful Monday. Thanks so much.